Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his death, resurrection, for the good news, the gospel. Help us not only to hear the good news, but to share it, to be eager in proclaiming your goodness, your grace, your forgiveness, not only to people that we know, but to people that we do not know. Let us not be ashamed of you or your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm smiling because of that primary lesson, that lesson from Romans. Paul is not one of my favorite Bible writers. I think the first period in that long opening verse from Romans 1 took place at the end of verse 7. There were seven verses before that first period. I was waiting for you to do it in all one breath there, Ken. But that's Paul. Paul goes on and on and on. He's a deep theologian, which means that he goes over my head quite a bit. So what I want to do is unpack a couple of sentences out of that reading today. As we look at Paul, the letter of Romans, we're going to have 3 weeks to look at Paul's letter to the Romans. 3 weeks is probably about 200 weeks short of what it would take to actually look at Romans. This letter is one of the latest letters that Paul wrote. He wrote it while he was in the city of Corinth, where he started a church, and he wanted to go visit the Christians in Rome that he had not met. But he had to go back to Jerusalem first to take the offerings, the gatherings for the Christian church in Jerusalem. And as I was doing some reading, Paul also was planning to go to Spain, or whatever direction Spain is at from here. But he never made it to Spain because Paul was arrested, and Paul being a Roman citizen, he could appeal to the courts in Rome as a Roman citizen, and so he ended up going to Rome as a prisoner. Now, at the time of the writing of this letter, Paul did not know the people who were a part of the church, the Christian church in Rome. He had not met them, but so he wanted to write this letter before he got there. Paul not only was a deep theologian, but Paul was a controversial person for both the Jews and the Christians. Paul was a Jew, and before Paul had that encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, Paul sought after and persecuted Christians. And so the Jews in the world weren't too sure what was going on with Paul. And the Christians were not too sure if they could trust him. And so one of the reasons he wrote this letter to the Romans was to assure them that he was a follower of Jesus. Now, one of the key verses that I want to look at is verse 16. Aaron, you want to go forward one? A theme for Paul is this phrase, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Paul declared it to the Romans, and he declares it to us that the gospel is about Jesus Christ, the good news not only of Jesus' death, but more importantly, his resurrection. And this is something that Paul is very proud of. Elsewhere, Paul will write that he could boast of himself, his being a Jew, his being a learned person, his being a zealot. But Paul does not boast about who he is, but rather Paul boasts about Jesus. Paul is proud of the gospel, the good news, and so Paul is not ashamed. Tracy's not here today, so I'm not going to preach about her much, but she knows the secret that I'm going to share with you. I have been binge-watching Hell's Kitchen. In the last 2 weeks, I think I've made it through. Okay, don't give me that weird look. It's weird. I don't like to cook. I'm married to a very good cook, and I don't want to change that. I have no desire to go on Hell's Kitchen, but I'm fascinated with all the people that go on and literally the abuse that they take from Chef Gordon Ramsay while on this show. If you've never watched it, don't. But it's fascinating, and I think why I'm watching it is the interpersonal relationships, the teamwork that happens or doesn't happen. And so week after week, the cooks struggle to cook, serving raw chicken, which is a no-no, or burnt scallops, or bad-tasting risotto. I mean, I've never seen so much risotto in my whole life as I have on this show. I'm sure I've had it, but risotto. All right, I already said I don't have a desire to be on it. One of the common scenes in all of the shows is after the cooking is done and before Chef Ramsay does his bit with all the cooks is, I can't believe I was so terrible. I can't believe I screwed up that service. I can't believe my food was horrible. And they would say, I am so ashamed of my cooking. Back to Paul not being ashamed. It isn't what Paul did or did not do that he was boasting about, unlike the cooks on Hell's Kitchen. It was Paul not being ashamed of the gospel. It was Paul not being ashamed of the gospel, but boasting about the gospel. And what is the gospel? It is the good news about Jesus Christ. Jesus died and rose again so that you and I might have salvation, eternal life. And that is what Paul is talking about. Not talking about Paul, but talking about God and Jesus. And so Paul is not ashamed. Next slide. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. Paul is letting us know what God wants. God wants people to have life. God is about the business of giving life. And it is through Jesus' death and resurrection that you are made right. The word salvation means to be made right before God. And it's not anything you or I have to do or to be, or whether we've done it poorly or wrongly. Salvation, being right in God's eyes, does not have to do anything with you or me. It is all about God's doing, bringing life, eternal life, to those who believe. Going back to Hell's Kitchen, at the end of each episode, Chef Ramsay tells one of the cooks to take off their, is it a jacket? I forget what it's called, their cooking uniform, to give it to him, and he goes and puts it on a hook and he destroys it. But anyway, that's Chef Ramsay. And he takes their jacket and he says, get the bleep out of my kitchen. The bleep there was a swear word. There's a lot of swearing on this show. I am so glad that our God is not like Chef Ramsay. I'm sure there are days when God looks down upon all of us and God just rolls his eyes and say, I cannot believe what my people do. It would be so easy for God to hit a button and say, boom, you're gone. But God does not. That is not our God. Our God wants us to have life, abundant life, eternal life. Our God is a God of grace and love and forgiveness. We are loved. We are forgiven. We have life, God's eternal life. And how do you think that should make us feel? Should we be filled with doubts and fear? Of course not. Should we think that God is out to get us no matter what? Of course not. Being a Christian, having the promise of eternal life and filled with God's grace and hope, our lives should be filled to overflowing with joy and happiness. We should be on top of the world, knowing that God loves us and forgives us. Next slide. And so this is why Paul writes in verse 15, "Hence, my eagerness to proclaim the gospel to you also." We have been given a gift. We have the gift of God's love and grace. Let's celebrate and be happy. Last week's lesson from Acts was about Paul and Barnabas going to the city of Lystra. There they preached about God and Jesus. There they healed a man born lame. And in the skit last week, Amari, hi Amari, she miraculously started walking like the person in Lystra. He was born lame, he could not walk, and when he was healed, he stood up and he leapt for joy. It is that same kind of excitement that we have because God loves us. I watched a whole season of Hell's Kitchen yesterday. So back to Hell's Kitchen one last time. At the end of each season, Chef Ramsay awards the final cook the grand prize, often some money, but more often than not, it's the opportunity to be his head chef at one of his restaurants. An opportunity of a lifetime. That's why I don't want to be on the show. I hate to have to win and then become a cook for other people. That just would not work. But the winner is overcome with joy. Their family, their friends, the other cooks of the seasons are there to join in the celebration, to say congratulations. And the winner is on top of the world. We too are on top of the world. God has given us the victory through the death and resurrection of Jesus. God has made us right in God's eyes and gives us eternal life. We are all winners in God's eyes. Let us not be ashamed. Let us be eager in sharing this good news with everyone every day. Amen. At this time, we will sing our hymn of the day, "You Are Mine," as we receive our offerings and our tithes.